that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live this Saturday morning, May 6th, 2023. And we welcome you here. Jason, good morning. Good to have you on.
Good morning.
And I don't know if anybody else came on. If they do, we'll bring them on. But we do say good morning and Remnant all across the land, from Northern California to Southern Arizona, and from Maine and New Hampshire down to Central Florida. Good morning and all points in between. We thank you for joining us, and we'll have the phone lines open this morning if you have a question or a comment. But we're going to open up in prayer. Jason, I'd ask if you would open us up in prayer this morning.
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you lead us, guide us, and direct us this morning. And we pray, Father, that we go the direction that you want us to go. We pray, Father, that you be with the remnant across this land. And, Father, we just ask that you just continue to bless your people and continue to guide and direct us. And we thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We know that you continue to bless us each and every day in the midst of the turmoil of the world, and we thank you for that. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Remnant, again, the phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. Saw some of the latest old job reports. They're saying the joblessness is down a little bit, more jobs created, that possibly the Federal Reserve won't do another raise, interest rate hike to try to do whatever magic they do to try to run things. And I've heard a little bit of news of that this week, and that pointed me back on May 4th to just a couple days ago to see this Fed Now. I heard about this. I didn't know if you'd heard about it, Jason. I'm sure you have, but depending on who you talk to, if you look at some of the alternative news media places or not, but basically this thing called FedNow is a an instant. It's kind of like what do you have if you get paid digitally? Zella, I think, is what it is. It's pretty instantaneous. It's like a Venmo or whatnot, but it's pretty quick. I think Zella is pretty much instantaneous, and so this FedNow is an instant payment service that'll operate around the clock, 365 days a year. It says allowing businesses and individuals to send and receive instant payments. Basically, you know, no more three-day wait on checks or on things like that. And you know, from the onset, it sounds, well, this is just one more thing the Fed is doing, but it's not just that. It seems like it's a precursor, at least this report that I've got here tells about it. I'll be glad to send it to you. It's about five pages, if you'd like it, folks. But it says that it's not a central bank digital currency like they're promoting called FedCoin, but it's a precursor to it. It's the first step in it, towards it. And so FedNow isn't a digital currency, but it's the preparation for it, a step towards it. And looking at a couple of reports this week, you know, some people say about 98% of the money that moves around this country that each and every one of us spend is digital. Whether you pay something online, you have your house payment, car payment, insurance payment, whatever, taken out automatically of your account, you know, that only about 2% of the transactions in this country actually involve paper money, and that 98% is digital now. And so, you know, some places look and say, well, so this Fed now is no big deal. It's just what we're doing anyway. But it sure seems like it could be a precursor to, you know, if this FedCoin and FedNow replaces the or takes control even of the digital dollars that are processed there. Some people are saying it comes with an on-off switch that. That if the Fed is controlling this, that then they basically more control over our lives. You know, if you had your 14th COVID booster shot yet? Well, if not, we may have to switch your money off, and there may be a glitch in you trying to get your money and pay your bills until you make sure you prove that you've had those shots and things like that. And so anyway, just another step that I think the enemy does this digital dollar, another step that the government's taking in trying to control. You know, they sure want to know about all your transactions. It used to be that even on your things like Venmo and PayPal, you didn't have to report them unless they were over like $20,000, and now it's down to what, like $600. They want to make sure that you're reporting and taxed on, and that they can be aware of and control and whatnot. So anyway, it just, I think as this happens, it'll just push I think more people to using cash. Does that kind of make sense, Jason, or not? You're much more the financial guy than I am.
Yeah, it makes sense, but I mean, it's, you know, they've tried this stuff over and over and over again, and they have not been able to make it work. I mean, you know, and they've added how many so-called IRS agents, and you know that's failing. And yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of fear tactics that go along with it. A lot of people are switching over to you know, and using the Venmo because they can get away with a lot more through using some of that stuff, and it's a way where they can transfer money and not get taxed on it, and not get caught on it, and you know, people that have liens against them are still using stuff like that because they can actually use those kind of payments, and they can put the money on a credit card and, you know, pay for gas and buy groceries with it. So
interesting times. Well, I think somebody else came on. Good morning. Welcome to coffee this morning.
Good morning,
Tim. How are things?
Running a little behind.
That's all right. How are things in Nebraska today?
Very good, thank you. Glad to be here. Yeah.
Awesome. Just talking a little about this. I'd seen this Fed Now deal. Real time, instantaneous payment platform, like the Venmo and the different places like that. But instantaneous that the Fed's pushing on, and who knows? They're just got to have their hands in everything. But I think the more they push,
they definitely want their nose.
Yeah, the more that they push, the more people, move away from those things. Even though most people, I think, just readily accept them, there's some that say, no, I don't want anything to do with that. And that, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just more of that enslavement and control and cradle to grave. And really, they want cradle to eternity. They don't want cradle to grave. They want, they think that's where they're headed for, I guess. So,
yeah. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And we'd be glad to take your call. Another couple notes here, but I don't know if you've seen internationally what's going on down in Haiti. You know, Haiti's been in the usually the thing's kind of quiet down there. You don't hear much unless they have a big hurricane rip through or something like that. But they have had, and this is not the first time, but they have had vigilante mobs going around. It's more than just gang warfare. They are coming against the gangs. Anyway, that's how the reports are, is that these civilians in Haiti, this report here, killed 5 more gangsters and burned their bodies on Tuesday, part of a growing trend of frustrated citizens taking the law into their own hand as criminals run rampant across the country. Apparently they went and pulled them out of a police station. They'd been arrested. But it says here in this last, 3 weeks, at least 18 people have been reported killed by crowds in Port-au-Prince and surrounding areas. This was just since last week. It's chaos. It's lawlessness. But the videos and stuff are coming out are saying that the police are not really standing in the way and causing a fight because they see what's going on as well. And so, it quite possibly could be just more gang warfare under the guise of claiming to be civilians, or it could be just that the people that are living there, some people are just fed up with the gangs and the lawlessness.
Well, there is no power vacuum. You know, you can have God's way, or you can have man's way, or you can have somebody's way, Satan's way. I mean, Peter used to say it all the time, and there is no vacuum.
Right.
You don't have we're never. The world wasn't made that way, quite honestly. God made it to be in a particular order. And I've always thought about that. You can fill yourself up with whatever you want to be. you can fill yourself up with the power of God and His might and His majesty, and you can step forward from that and work on those lines, and you know, your core thoughts will be, what would God have us do? What was His rule about this? What? And that's not, that doesn't mean you won't make mistakes, but it means that that will be your guiding principle, and your you know, the outcome will be better. Or you can just go back to that base man, that satanic might and majesty, in which case chaos will ensue, and downfall, destruction, and judgment comes swiftly on its heels, which is, it kind of goes back to that same thing, you know, judgment starts in the house of the Lord. Well, the reason for that is he's going to put His house in order. So if you're already, trying to be in order, what are you afraid of? Nothing. You know, I mean, maybe I'm not doing it all right, but God will straighten that out. But when we look at what they do, why they tend to, you know, they don't care. They just make a new rule, make a new, when this fails, they set up another idolatry, another idol, another way to go, and away they go from it.
Yeah. Yeah. 10,000 new edicts, not laws, but edicts every year. More and more and more.
And they always go forward to some new scheme, new plot, new whatever. They create another one. We go back to our rock, to our root. That's where we need to go back and get lined up, not make some new thing going forward, you know.
So. Yeah, got Florida and Florida Republican legislature, and Governor Ron DeSantis down there recently passed a couple bills. Had to bring these up to prevent students and teachers from being required by law to use, you know, pronouns that that don't correspond to a person's sex, because that is what the school boards had approved. That is what they were telling the teachers and the students they had to do, and the state had to come up and or did, whether they had to or not, they did. And passed a bill that said, no, you are not required to do that. And then the second bill was banning diversity programs in colleges. And, you know, this is I think it reared its head from this all this CRT mess that was going around the last couple of years. And It just seems like there's some common sense in the leadership in the legislature in Florida. No, they're not perfect, just like you mentioned, Tim. You know, when you choose to follow God, it's not that you're perfect, that everything works out just right, but it's better. It's better, and it is. And anyway, it's crazy to even think that you would have to do something like this, but it is, and it also what's a note here? Allows challenges against school books that people argue are inappropriate, you know, age inappropriate for children, and. I think we've all seen some of those being brought up at school boards and the filth that's in the public school system. We encourage you to homeschool. Met a couple of new homeschool families just in the last week, since last week's coffee, and that's encouraging. That's a recommendation from us to do that if at all possible, but it just kind of highlights and shows the insanity that is in the public school systems, the school boards, the teachers that are hired, and the guidelines that are given, or the lack of guidelines that are given, just so that it's just that anything goes, and it's that's a hard thing out there. It is today to be a part of, if you are a Christian, if you're a believer, and part of that system, that's for sure.
Yeah, they constantly push, and you know, stuff in these schools. I mean, even as young as in the first grade now, with the sex education, and they're basically one of the things that, you know, is coming out in a lot of the schools, and I'm not saying it's in every school, but it's, you know, wherever your kids are and whatever kind of education they are, whether it's a Christian school, whether it's homeschool, whether it's public school, parents need to be aware of what their children are being taught and be active in it. I know that recently I've heard a lot of stories and a lot of facts that... One of the things that they're teaching these children, they're pushing from, you know, first grade is, you know, you don't have to tell your parents what you learn in school. And they're constantly just pushing that and driving that into these children's head is, you know, you don't have to tell anybody. You can do that. And, you know, that's where it would stop. It'd stop right there with me. And, you know, the sad thing is there's parents that, you know, they get upset about it, but are they making phone calls? Are they calling the teachers up? Are they saying, hey, no, this is not going to be allowed? Are they calling the school board up? Are they calling the principals up? No, they're not. They're getting upset about it, and they're just, you know, letting it move on. But, you know, then you've got that same scenario in, you know, public school curriculum that's moving into a lot of the Christian schools because they can get funding if they do this, if they do that, if they have this curriculum or if they have this program, you know, they can get so much funding. And then you got a lot of people that, you know, say, okay, we're going to homeschool our children, and they pull their kids out of public school and they give them no education at all, you know, which isn't right either. So, I mean, if you're going to do something, if you're going to have children, you need to be responsible for them. You need to make sure that, you know, they get an education. It's sad how many people that I know that homeschool that, okay, we're homeschooling our kids, and then they do jack with them. Or they give them a book, and they're like, okay, here, work on this. And they don't give them any help. And if they're not going to homeschool them, then they need to get them a tutor or somebody to help them out. Because it's not right to kick a kid out, you know, or let them graduate. Oh, okay, have a graduation party, which they really didn't do anything for the last 4 years, and then turn them out and they have, you know, basically no education. I've seen a lot of them that, you know, can't read or write or even do simple math. The thing is, you know, what is important is you get them an education, that you teach them how to do something, and, you know, be involved with it. You know, the people that turn out the best are the people that have the parents that are there actively with them and taking them part in education. And, you know, there's so much stuff that's going on, and it just takes a minute for one of these children to be sacrificed or to be hurt or harmed for in a public school, in a Christian school, or anywhere else. You know, recently here, you know, in a small town of LaPorte, Colorado, and they just arrested and indicted another one of the teachers that was a long-term standing teacher that apparently they got enough people to come forward and say that, you know, it was a teacher that had a thing for little boys. And it had been going on for years, and, you know, there's still people coming out of the woodwork that are saying how they were harmed by that, and that happens all over. And I've asked people. I said, did you know that teacher? And they knew that teacher, and yeah, there was something funny about him, but you know, it'd been going on for years, and you have no idea how many children have been hurt or harmed for life over a situation like that. And, you know, you've got to be able to have, you know, a talking relationship with them. You've got to talk to them about, you know, what they're learning, wherever they're at. You've got to who their friends are, what they're doing, and you need to, you know, have that, you know, trust relationship where they can they can come to you if something's going on and tell you what's going on.
Absolutely. You know, be involved. Being involved. And there's so many people that just that aren't. You know, they're not involved with their church anymore, and many times they're not involved with their family, and especially with their children. And we see the result. When the Bible talks about the, you know, because of the lawlessness in the land, the heart of man has grown cold. That's, I think that's a good example of it, Jason. It is that not just towards each other, but sometimes to their own family, to their own children. And you do, you have to be involved.
Well, and it's a job. I mean, being a parent is, and the other thing I think is, people don't prioritize correctly. You know, I mean, I see this and, you know, you get older, you see things you don't see when you were younger, but, prioritization is, it's like, that's an important job. That is probably the most important job you will have. You know, I mean, it's like the God of heaven trusted you with a, you know, moldable life there. What
yes.
are you going to do with it? And there's no, you know, there's no second go take backs. No, well, I wish we could run back to when he was five or she was five and get this done. I mean, it's like you, there's some, if you're really trying to be a good parent, there's going to be some agonizing go on. And then you mix that in with the fact that every one of those children are different and unique. And we know they are because God says we are. But, you know, the same approach won't work unilaterally. I mean, with all children, you know, it's which is part of what makes the public indoctrination system not work is they try to cookie cutter pigeonhole, create a situation there where, you know, they just rubber stamp everybody that comes out the other end. And, you either fit in or you wonder, why some of them don't fit in the mold and they're all warped and twisted. It was because of the pressure and the stamping that went on. Pressure makes diamonds, but you know, it also makes dust if things aren't right.
That's
so,
right.
You know, we have to, and are you going to get it right totally? Well, with God's help, yes. But it'll put you on your knees. And as you get older, I've said it before, but as you get older, people talk about the terrible twos and the terrible threes and everything. But trust me, the 20s and stuff are a lot more difficult because you're still a parent, whether that child's 2 or 20 or 30. And you're still going to be concerned and you're still going to care if you're a good parent. But your toolbox changes as they get older. You know, you don't have the same set of tools anymore to tune them up and make everything run smoothly. So you have to change and move on your feet and grow too. And some of these people just, you know, I every year you go in someplace like one of the big box stores or something, you're standing in line, and about August when school's about ready to start, I've heard it year after year after year. There's always a couple of gals standing there talking, going through the checkout. One of them's like, oh, I just can't wait for school to start. I'm so sick of having those kids around.
Yeah.
I just can't wait. You know, and I just almost, I'm sure if somebody had a camera on me, they'd see my mouth drop open because every time I hear that, I'm just like, wow. It's just wow. You know, so it's like, then make them someone you want to be around. I mean, I love hanging out with my children. I love, and mine are all grown, but they come home frequently. We visit a lot. We have, I love my kids. I mean, they're good people, and they're the people I like to hang out with the most. So it's like, yeah, you should be going for that.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and that didn't just happen, Tim. You know what I mean? You and your wife have got a lifetime invested in that to make that happen. and you know, with the principles found in the Bible. Perfect? No. But like you said, you know, you when you contrast that with those parents in the line at the store that are, you know, talking with each other in all honesty, saying, I just can't wait till the little brat gets back to school. I can't have him in my, you know, I got more important things to do, is what they're saying. And, you know, there's a scripture, I forget where it is in the Word, that talks about in something like in the latter days that the older women will teach the younger women how to love their children. You guys have, I'm sure you've seen that somewhere. I'm not sure where it is. I didn't look it up on my little research thing, but and I never understood that, but I think we understand it more today, because we see that lack, and again, because of the lawlessness, the word holds itself true, because of lawlessness, the heart of man grows cold, and we see that in the land. It is so sad, and I've heard that very thing, Tim. You know, you hear people say that, and it's like, wow, just the priorities are wrong. They're out of order. Things are out of order when a parent, you know, feels that way about their child. It's just wrong, and it's sad. It really is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you look at, you know, I mean, some of the stuff that they're pushing is actually just comical. You know, the Navy turns to drag to attract new recruits, and I don't know if anybody saw this. I just heard about it over the last couple of days. You know, U.S. Navy has reached harsh criticism after approaching an active duty drag queen to be its digital ambassador in a new effort to attract recruits. And military designated Yeoman Second Class Joshua Kelly as the first of five digital ambassadors in a pilot program that ran from October to March, according to the New York Post. Kelly, whose stage name is Harpy Daniels and who identifies as a non-binary, joined the Navy in 2016 and said their experience as a sailor has been a blessing. This experience has brought me so much strength, courage, and ambition to continue being an advocate and representation of queer sailors, Kelly said in his Instagram post. You know, and it's you go on, and it's the video. I mean, I wouldn't even watch any of it, but it's trying to attract queers into the military. And you know, you look at basically our military is becoming the laughing stock of the world. You know, it used to be, I mean, we used to be one of the ones that were feared, and you know, people wanted to be on our side, and it's not that way anymore. This was a quote from one of the former Navy SEALs. It says, former Navy SEAL Robert J. O'Neill, who was part of the team that killed Osama bin Laden, tweeted, "All right, the U.S. Navy is now using an enlisted sailor drag queen as a recruiter. I'm done. China is going to destroy us. You got this, Navy? I can't believe I fought for this BS." You know, the backlash is, I mean, we're getting it, and, you know, they're mocking us from all over the world. It's, you know, and it's, I mean, it's just, it is, it's completely disgusting. I mean, it's something that just shouldn't be happening. And, you know, we're seeing that with them pushing this drag stuff. I mean, there's a lot of Americans that are fighting back and saying no, but they're pushing this on every possible front that they can. And you know, I really think that it's a fight against God is what it is. It boils down to, it's that simple. God made man and woman, and they are enemies, the enemies of Christ. They want to have something else. They want to create something of their own, and they can't do it. You know, it's basically, there is man and woman. That's it. And no matter how hard they try, they're not going to create another species. They can cut up, and they can splice, and they can do this, and they can do that. They're not going to obtain it. And, you know, they're going to lose at this. And they're just, I think that it goes back to, I think that it's very evident that these people that are pushing this and that are trying this and that doing these experiments are probably those fallen angels that are talked about in the Book of Enoch, where they were cutting and splicing and doing the dividing and the binding of genes. And that's what they were doing. And that's where a lot of this stuff, this gene manipulation stuff came in from. It came in from the Watchers, or the fallen angels, whatever you want to call them, the Nephilim. And the Book of Enoch talks in quite in depth about it, actually. And that was one of the things that that they came down and that they taught man how to do. And, you know, they've been working at it for a long time. There's nothing new under the sun. They've been trying this stuff for a long time. And, you know, it's they're not going to win at it, because God, what God created was perfect. And he made it perfect. He intended it to be just the way that he made it, that he built it, that he purposed it for.
Amen.
Yeah, and I, you know, to kind of go along with what you're saying, well, they've got the Navy's got a severe shortage of enlistees. So, you know, it stands to reason that any kind of business philosophy that, let's see, maybe 3 to 5% of the population, and I don't have a number on that, but it's a very small percentage of them that are transgender and all this kind of stuff. So let's spend millions in an ad campaign and revamp and re-everything else and chase down this 3% of the population, of which we're going to get maybe a percentage point as enlistees. You know, I mean, it's like, so basically we can say with common sense that we know that that is not what they're after. What they're after is a change of people's, you know, conscious level, or they want an acceptance there. It's like, you hear that all the time in comments on these situations. Well, what's going on there that would bring that about, as far as, you know, well, why are people worried about it? Why are people, well, I mean, what difference does it make? Well, it matters to God.
It does. It does. And you're right. It that's the same thing that Budweiser did. You know, they weren't trying to get more cross-dressing queers to drink Bud Light. They were getting people like us to be more acceptance of the cross-dressers and the queers. That's what the agenda is. You know, that's why Maybelline, a makeup company, has men wearing makeup as their spokespersons, and clothing companies are doing that. I had somebody tell me the other day, they went to Target. Well, my neighbor told me, went to Target looking for, they've got a little boy, and, looking for some little boy clothes, and everything was unisex. There were no little boy clothes. Everything had rainbows and pride and love, and everything was just, you know, there was no little boys department anymore for clothes. And you know, I like how you put it, Jason. You know, that's what these enemies are doing. They're trying to create something, but they're destroyers. They can't create. You know, Pastor taught on that there's builders of society, like the people that settled this nation, and that, you know, pretty much were running it and creating up to about 100 years ago. And then there's destroyers. There's the parasites that come in and destroy. I saw this article from Time Magazine. It's from 2019, May 28, 2019. And it says, the World Health Organization will stop classifying transgender people as having a, quote, mental disorder. And that's because up until 2019, in all of the, not that we all put a lot into the psychological departments of the country and the world and whatnot, but their definition, by definition, a transgender person was one with a mental disorder. You know, someone that, and so even, I thought of the scripture where it says even the, you know, the rocks cry out, that even they got that right. You know, psychologists of the world, and the World Health Organization went along with it until May 25th, 2019. So they just change, you know, they just change. Well, yes, yesterday we said that blue was blue, but today blue is red, and they just change, and they and to them it's okay. That they do. They think they're God. They think because they speak that as God spoke, it became, and they think that as they speak, that that's just how it is. And it's just not. And you know, so they change their definitions. They completely, you know, the enemy just completely flip-flops and we've seen it not only with this, we've seen it with history, science, you know, all the mess with the COVID. Oh, now the CDC and the World Health Organization, and even old Fauci come up. Well, you know, masks never really only worked that well. And, you know, they weren't mandatory. They were more of a recommendation, you know. Tell that to the people that got fired from jobs that didn't go along with the recommendation. I mean, it's just it's the chaos of the world, the insanity, the hypocrisy of it. And thankfully, a few more people are seeing it, and it is you know, the enemy means it for evil, these things that they do, but God uses it for good. He is turning it to where, as the evil grows and flourishes, it's pushing more people away from it. Away from it. It's causing people to say, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with that transgender crap. I don't want anything to do with that, you know, that cross-dressing. I don't want anything to do with that abortion. And it's pushing people away from that because the law is written on their heart. And you know, when you move away from evil, you're moving in the right direction. It's not perfection. It's not, you know, a total repentance and returning to God, but it's not moving in the wrong direction anymore. It's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I think we have approached a time when anyone who has a doubt that we're coming up on the end game, with these evildoers, there was a time when they were sneaky and when they set themselves in positions to make great amount of money and create change through that kind of stuff. And now they're spending their money. They go out and do these things. It's just like the Bud Light deal and some of the other stuff. They go out and do this, and it's cost them. I mean, it may very well cost Anheuser-Busch everything. I mean, they're continuing to drop in sales, and that's just one of a whole bunch. We've got, like Jason said, the Navy. We've got there's a new one every week, it seems like, and the public are refusing to participate and are in large. So they are no longer worried about whether they can keep their power and money position. They're willing to, you know, play roulette and try to spend it all and make a change. And we're seeing this go on. And I think that's that destruction the Bible talks about. And I'm always reminded of Isaiah 5:20, where it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, and who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. And we look at that and say, that's what these people think. They detest and despise you because you serve God. And God says, no, it's not going to stand. So their judgment comes on swift feet. And it's like, well, when they begin to do that and when we resist, their judgment's at the door. And it's right there. So that's kind of where we're at.
Yes, yes, agreed. You got some people standing up. I like how you mentioned that, Tim, the end game. We're right there. You know, the Bible talks about, when Jesus talked about the parable of the tares and the wheat, you know, when the tares were standing up and mixed in with the wheat, the servant said, well, Lord, you want us just to take them out? And he said, no, because you'll disturb the wheat too. You'll destroy the wheat. And he said, wait till the time of harvest. And at the time of harvest, the wheat will be bowed down with the heavy heads of kernel in the physical, but the wheat are bowed down. But what are the tares doing? The tares are standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty, right? And that's when the reapers go in, and the reapers are angels, and destroy the tares. They cut them, they bind them, bundle and burn them. And so when you see tares, and I want to tell you who a tare is right now. The Maryland governor of Maryland, signs a bill giving abortion and child transgenderism legal protection. Okay? Wes Moore, the Democrat governor of Maryland, signed into law a bill that enshrines both abortion and child transgenderism procedures into the state's law as fundamental rights. And it's just a step away from, if your 8-year-old wants to transgender and you don't take him in or her in, they'll arrest you and do it anyway. And so this is a tear remnant that stands up straight and tall and says, me too, don't forget me over here, standing up straight and tall and proud and haughty. Oh, yeah, us too, you know, Colorado Governor Jared Polis is the same way, you know. Oh, come to Colorado to do drugs on the Capitol steps. We're not going to charge you with a felony. And have your abortion. We welcome that. And I don't know any other way to see it. That's certainly how I see it, you know, the Bible coming true. And it tells us, like you said, Tim, we're right at that end game, because these things that the Bible tells us of, they are coming true. You know, he says, while other states are dead set on ripping away reproductive rights, see how they word that? Oh, other states are ripping away. Other states are protecting the unborn child, but to the, you know, they say the opposite. Oh, they're ripping away reproductive rights and attempting to erase the existence of trans and non-binary individuals that have a mental disorder. The Governor Miller says, we're making Maryland a state that is welcoming, inclusive, and that safeguards the rights of all people. Man, that sounds so good, but it's just a lie. It's just an absolute lie, and that's what the enemy does. Again, Pastor taught us that, right? What do? They accuse you of what they are. They accuse you of what they do. They call us haters, and we're motivated by love. And they're the ones that hate. Reproductive rights? What about the rights of that unborn child? Anyway, so there's a tear for you. And we are in that, like you said, Tim, that end game. The perilous times. But remember, remnant, it's there. It's the end of their system. It's the end of you know, that it's that Babylon that's falling. It's not the end of God's system or the end of God's people.
Yeah, sooner or later, God's going to cut them down. So it's coming.
Amen to that.
And His time's not ours. He's given all those people time to repent. I appreciated Peter's message, that message to a man and his men back when he did that. You know, there's still time. There's still time till there's not. Those of you who are wicked and on the wrong side of the fence and everything else, you can still get right. You can still repent. You can still have a coming to Jesus moment, quite literally. We use that sometimes in a kind of, you know, whatever wording, but it's still true and it's still real and it's still there and it's still, the doors stand, the doors open if you want to walk through it. I mean, you have that ability. I'm amazed here just lately at how many people I've seen that are writing books or researching books that are atheists that are going to go out there and, you know, disprove God, and pretty near every one of them that I've, well, of course, I guess those are the ones I've read about, but, you know, they've walked away from it with a faith in God, with a belief. You know what? He is real. I mean, I really got to digging into it, and I've changed my mind, you know.
Right.
And along with that mind change came a heart change. So, you know, if you can be belligerent and contrary and go to hell, or you can get yourself straightened up and go to the kingdom, but it's going to be one way or the other. So I guess it's just whatever road you want to get on and run down. But it's up to you.
That's right. That's right, it is. You know, Psalms 139:16 says, in your book, O Lord, were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there were not one of them. And so each and every one of us, we have a certain number of days, and they've been written down, and it's been set. That's hard for us to comprehend sometimes. It is. But if we believe the word, and we do, that's what it says. And so, you know, we, I like how you put that. You can be contrary and rebellious and be miserable in this life and the next. That's your choice. That's your choice. Or you can change. You can repent. You can either return to God, or if you've never known God, you can turn to God. It's still day. We still, remnant, we still have work to do, because we're told to work while it's still day, and it's still day right now. But you know, that day is not going to be forever, and that day will come to an end. And nope, we don't do altar calls here. You know, if you ever listen to Grace FM or some of the radio preachers, or even on your Sunday morning, every Sunday, right? Every Sunday, every other church, just come to Jesus. If you need to, you know, and you get they start playing the music in the background. Dun, 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 dun. Just come, and the voice gets soft and pleading, and, you know, we don't do that here. We don't. Tim, I think, you know, what you said, you know, hey, listen, it's not too late. That's the truth. You can.
Yeah, that was my altar call.
That was your altar call. You know? Absolutely. It was. That's about as close as we get here, folks. Just, we tell you the truth, and then it's up to you. You know, it's not that you have to listen to our smooth, sweet, buttery voice and the music in the background that tugs on your heartstrings and, oh, that. No, you don't get that here. You get the rough. You get the just, you know, it's coffee with the Wranglers, and it's just how this ministry has always been. This is the word. The truth says, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We have all sinned, and we're all doomed to die. And the only way out of that, the only way to eternal life, to heaven, to the kingdom, whatever you want to call it, is through Jesus Christ the Son. And you got to do more than believe in him, because James 2 says the demons believe and shudder. And so you got to, as Romans 6 says, you got to share in his death so you can share in his resurrection. And that's just the cold, hard facts. That's the gospel, though. That is the gospel. And it's John 3:16 is right in there as well. But that's not the only verse that's there. And so take a look at it. Guys, we're out of time. Tim, Jason, thanks so much. You guys have a blessed weekend. Remnant, we hope that... we thank you for joining us, and we hope that you'll join us at church tomorrow, Sunday morning, 8:30 a.m. Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. Join us for a scriptural insight, a little review of the news, and then a timeless pulpit truth. Then we've got a new message for you after that. and give you the opportunity to partake of communion. We hope you'll join us. You can do that at scriptures4america.org. SFAW.org, I believe, works as well. New updated website. You click right on the live video stream. We hope you'll join us there. God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, fast and pray together, make them hell and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hot.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.